Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. April is National Autism Awareness Month, and we have covered a number of issues this month relating to children with autism and Asperger's, and today we'll be talking about adults with Asperger's, specifically Asperger's in the workplace. It is thought that over 85% of adults with Asperger's are without full-time employment. What can be done to help? Well, joining us today to share some advice and insight into this issue is Rudy Simone to talk about her wonderful book, Asperger's on the Job, must-have advice for people with Asperger's or high-functioning autism and their employees, educators, and advocates. Rudy's book is a resource to help employers, educators, and therapists accommodate this growing population and to help people with AS find and keep gainful employment. Rudy looks into all aspects of employment because there is more to a job than what the tasks are, from social blunders to perfectionism to bullying by coworkers. Rudy presents solutions to difficult challenges. Readers will be enriched, enlightened, and ready to work together. Rudy has begun to establish herself through her workshops, websites, seminars, and writings as a force for change in the world of Asperger's awareness. She is the author of 22 Things a Woman Must Know If She Loves a Man with Asperger's Syndrome. She is also the author of Aspergirl, Empowering Females with Asperger's Syndrome. Rudy, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you on the show. I loved your book, and so did Temple Grandin, who wrote the foreword. And she wrote also, Asperger's on the Job is a great resource for navigating the workplace. I was really able to relate to it. The guides for handling social situations in the office will be extremely beneficial. And, you know, in the introduction, I mentioned that it is thought that 85% of adults with Asperger's do not have full employment. And, Rudy, one of the many things that I loved about your book is how you stress that going to work isn't just about work. It's about what you wear and your environment and how your bosses and coworkers are treating you. And I'm guessing that that's why the number is so high.
Yeah. I mean, we can be very literal and naive people in some ways, very innocent. And we go into our first job thinking that all we're going to have to do is do a good job. And we're very excited about doing a good job, no matter what it is we're doing. But then we find once we get into the office or the store or the factory or the warehouse that our relationships with our coworkers take up the greatest part of our energy and sort of have much more importance than we ever dreamed that they would. So we find that our awkward social skills become sort of a barrier to progressing on our job or even staying in our job.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, too, because you write about so many of the positive attributes that people with AS tend to have, you know, like focusing, diligence, internal motivation, visual three-dimensional thinking, attention to detail, and honesty, which you'd say, wow, that makes a really great employee. But then you add in the social issues and also the environmental factors, like the lights are too bright, it's too hot, it's too cold, and people not being sensitive and aware of those issues. If you can talk about that as well in the workplace.
Yeah, environmental sensitivity is an overwhelming thing. I mean, for example, open-plan offices where there's a million computer screens, people's phones are ringing, everyone is carrying on their own individual conversation on the phone, can be very distracting to a person with Asperger's. You'd be, or high-functioning autism, you'd be surprised at how easily we can get sensory overload and where that overstimulation can come from. It can come from squeaky chair wheels or wallpaper that's too busy or carpeting that's too busy it can come from there are a million triggers just lurking waiting to sabotage our So it's important to be aware. There's a lot more awareness happening now thanks to things like Temple Grandin's movie and a bunch of other things. It definitely is geared towards the employer. I mean, there's a section directed to the employer in each chapter. But a lot of people with Asperger's are fearful of disclosure. They're fearful of repercussions. I deal with that all the time, with individual clients that I consult with. Partial disclosure is always an option. But of course it would be best for everyone if an employer and coworkers, upper management, management, et cetera, would all take the time to read this book, because autism is so prevalent now that this issue is affecting a significant segment of the population, and a lot of people who would be excellent employees remain out of work.
Yes, and that is not a good situation. And I think that's why your book is so important, because you also talk about, that if, let's say,
you know, you're working somewhere and you're not comfortable with the heat or the lighting or something else in the environment, you know, a lot of it's not just what you say, but it's how you say it. And you talk about the importance of packaging what you say as if, you know, like packaging a nice gift. So if you can tell us about that as well.
Yeah, well, a lot of us are fairly visual thinkers, so I use visual metaphors in the book to sort of drive a point home. I mean, social skills, we can be very blunt. We can be very honest. That ability to say the emperor isn't wearing any clothes is much more palatable if you dress it up in a little thing called tact, which we all forget from time to time. So social skills, manners, things like that are things that we have to sort of discipline ourselves to have.
What are some of the main tips you would say for employers to keep in mind if they know that they're working with folks that have Asperger's?
Well, I think the most important thing is not to judge us. If there's a modicum of hostility in the way that we're being watched, scrutinized, et cetera, we tend to sort of fold up under that kind of scrutiny, under that kind of judgment. It feels a lot like pressure to us. If you could just focus on the work that we do and I guess the intention and the integrity behind it and focus less on how popular we are with our coworkers or how normal we are or aren't, because that should not really be as important as it is. Even well-meaning people sometimes, we all judge the world through our own lens. So even nice people can sometimes judge other people unfairly because they're looking through their own lens. So what my book tries to do is to create a sort of a cultural exchange between the autistic population and the non-autistic population to bridge that divide. This is how we look at the world. Oh, that's how you look at the world. And let's sort of have a little bit of understanding for one another. And I try to do that in my daily life as well. I try to walk my talk.
At the end of the book, you have additional tools for those with AS, and you created something called the Personal Job Map. And if you can tell us about that, what inspired you to create that as well?
I don't know. I guess I just visualize things as sort of, even though I'm not, I mean, I'm not a very visual thinker. I'm more verbal, but I do sort of map things out in my head. And I realize that while you might have a tendency or an aptitude towards a certain kind of job, you might have environmental triggers or social things that would prevent you from finding fulfillment or happiness in that job. So I created this thing called a map where you sort of cross-reference what you're very passionate about, because it's important that people on the spectrum work within the areas of their passions. If we don't, we don't have the motivation to stay in work. So to find the areas where we're passionate and then sort of check that against what we can or cannot handle. We can handle a lot intellectually, but emotionally and sensorially, we have things that, you know, are very debilitating. So you cross-reference those things, and so you come up with the sort of perfect career and the perfect arena in which to have that career.
Oh, that's great. Now, are there any careers that you've heard from? Because I know that you did a lot of research in the book that, you know, and I know everybody's different. I mean, so it's hard to say, well, people with Asperger's particularly like to work here. But are there any, I mean, I don't want to generalize, but, I mean, was there anything that did kind of, was there a pattern in your research at all where people, okay.
Yeah, I mean, generally people with Asperger's have a above average intelligence. We have a higher
IQ
than the public and a higher fluid intelligence. So generally we are pretty smart cookies. I mean, some people do like simple, you know, manual labor, repetitive work. But some people, we love to monologue. We love to talk about our interests more than we like having reciprocal conversations. So actually I think the happiest Aspies are teachers, they're professors. They're teaching at the college level, or else they're teaching small children where there's not a lot of unruly behavior going on, which is just something we can't control, where we can just sort of stand up and be listened to and be respected. Writers.
Yeah.
We're pretty happy in that capacity as well. But I would say it's really, really important for the person with ASDs to stay in school to get the highest degree that they possibly can, and I talk about that in the book as well, because of that need for legitimacy and validation and power.
See. Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny. My husband is a studio director at a large video game company, and he always says, I think there's a lot of people here, you know, that are on the spectrum, you know. And, you know, I mean, that's the kind of work, you know, that, you know, again, very intelligent. I mean, my daughter is on the spectrum, and she's just out of the box. I mean, just brilliant, just beyond brilliant.
You make a good point that there are undiagnosed people who are working in creative fields, who are working in, you know, technology and digital and Silicon Valley. But there are a lot of people who don't want to be strapped to a computer or work with technology that are on the spectrum. And I think we're maybe a little bit harder to place in positions where we're happy. So, you know, an exact unemployment rate, you know, an exact figure is very difficult to obtain, but roughly, you know, between 80 and 90%. But that's a guess. If that's based on just interviewing people and finding out that there are people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s who are still living home or back at home with mom and dad because they can't earn a living wage. And there's a cycle that people get into. They just keep repeating and making the same mistakes. And my book is hopefully going to help people break that cycle.
Oh, I definitely think it will. Rudy, I want to thank you so much for being on It's Your Health. And how can people learn more about you and your terrific books?
Well, a couple of places. They can come to my website, Help for Asperger's, and that's with the number 4. Or they could go to my publisher's website, Future Horizons. Is the publisher of Asperger's on the Job, and the usual retail outlets online. I have a couple more websites as well, but you probably don't want me spelling them out.
No, tell me. Everybody wants to know.
I have a new one called Celebrate Female ASD, which
cool.
is a joint enterprise with authors Leanne Holiday Willey and Dr. Shana Nichols. And I'm sure I have more, but I can't think of them at the moment.
Well, I want to have you back on in the summer to talk about 22 things a woman must know if she loves a man with Asperger's syndrome, and also the other one, Asperger Girls, that we talked about in the introduction.
Asperger Girls.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
Asperger Girls with a plural. Asperger Girls, empowering females with Asperger's syndrome.
Ah, that's wonderful. Well, this has been great. I want to thank you again so much. And if people want to reach me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. I hope everyone has a great week. Keep being healthy. Take care. Bye-bye.